The endless parade of time. Who can say what fruits the future will see ripen? We can only keep looking towards
tomorrow's world with Isla Christensen and Stella Huggins on 95BFM.
This week, Isla and Stella are diving into the world of microplastics, drawing on interviews with Dr. Shinji Kahara from the School of Chemical Sciences at the University of Auckland. They discuss how nanoplastics affect human cellular function and how prevalent they are in Aotearoa. Here are Isla and Stella.
Hey Earthlings, I'm Isla Christensen.
And I'm Stella Huggins.
Welcome back to Tomorrow's World, a segment when we explore the big ideas of science and how they relate to you, the individual.
As well as how they affect the collective on this little earth rock that we call home.
Last episode, we chatted with Molly Alton about sustainable farming.
In this episode, we want to continue in the same vein of sustainability, but with more of a focus on how unsustainable practices can affect your body.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of things about climate change that affects your health, and even if you haven't caused them, it seems pretty unfair.
To say the least, it's frustrating. But the good news is that a lot of research is now identifying aspects of pollution that affect the human body, which means we're gaining ground and figuring out how to mitigate it. One hot topic in the scientific community right now is microplastics and how they meddle with humans. And we had an off-air chat with Dr. Shinji Kahara,
a research fellow at the School of Chemical Science at the University of Auckland, about his PhD thesis on how polystyrene fragments interact with particular human protein.
Dr. Kahara's research is just a subset of the work being done on microplastics, but gaining specific knowledge in niche areas is imperative to the scientific process.
And as well as completing his thesis on the topic, Dr. Kahara has also worked with the Chief Science Advisor on the topic of microplastic regulation in New Zealand.
You might have heard of the 2018 microbead ban. Microbeads were previously added to skincare products to promote scrubbing powers.
But is being exfoliated worth the environmental and personal health damage? Apparently the Environmental Protection Authority doesn't think so, and they've told these products to wash off.
I'm inclined to agree. So we all got the infant stage sustainability talk on how bad plastics were back in primary school because of research telling us plastics aren't going anywhere.
And we hopefully all know by now how to be tidy Kiwis. We've seen devastating images of seabirds entangled in plastic bags and gory internal photos of marine life who have ingested plastic. When thinking about plastic in its macro form, we might think that plastic breaking down could be a weirdly good thing. That marine life is somehow safe from being strangled right now?
Even after years of photo degradation, what was a big problem has now become thousands of little problems.
Those dang nurdles.
What a lot of people don't think about is how during this breakdown, plastic particles reach microscopic levels, and an issue that's harder to monitor has come out of microplastics: the potential to interfere with cellular processes.
And so today we'll explore how they do this and where microplastics are hiding.
Throughout the conversation I had with him, Dr. Kahara was adamant that a common misconception about nanoparticles, particularly nanoplastics, was the belief that they are inherently bad, dangerous, or toxic. This may not always be the case.
And nanoplastics themselves can be quote-unquote harmless in terms of their chemical makeup, and it's their size that makes them problematic. And a lot of the time because they bind to human materials inside the body and subsequently change the properties of the material.
The human body is pretty hardcore, but it's also pretty fussy in some areas. Quick biology lesson. Your body is always working on DNA replication, mostly in the form of mitosis.
Mitosis is the helpful little tool that helps repair human tissue when it's damaged or worn out.
Skin and bone marrow cells go through the most mitosis on average. In the case of skin cells, it's because our skin is the first line of defense against infection and also faces all of the hardships of the day, so we're damaged most frequently.
My poor skin. Stella, I have to get my skincare on. The primary function of mitosis is DNA replication, which we won't go into much deeper, except to say that proteins are massively important in it.
Hold fire on that skincare routine, Isla. Remember the dicey landscape of skincare products? Well, there's a ban of microbeads, nanoparticles and nanoplastics are still present in many cosmetics.
Be right back. I'm going to go check my face mask.
Well, like you, Isla, proteins are also divas.
Ouch.
And they're very clicky. A good analogy is the lock and key model, which explains protein binding as having structural fits that correspond to each other. If a protein structure is changed, it can't do its job as well as before.
And as I've seen on Mythbusters, movies don't always get it right with the bobby pins. You can't just pick a lock with them, especially when they're broken. Sometimes, and especially in our bodies, we need the right key. And so after that background, let's think about foreign objects in the body and how they're able to bind to proteins to change their properties, P pesky nanoparticles.
Dr. Kahara's research on polystyrene and a human protein called albumin show that these two materials can form complexes.
That is not great news. And the human serum albumin is the most abundant protein in human blood plasma and has a very important role in the transport of fat, hormones, vitamins and enzymes into other tissue around the body.
So the findings of Dr. Kahara's research aren't exactly encouraging, and they indicate that nanoparticles in the form of microplastics interfere with normal cell function.
So we know that nanoplastics aren't great for us, but how abundant are they?
Well, a study by NIWA in conjunction with the University of Auckland investigated the amounts of microplastic particles in marine sediments in the Marlborough Sounds.
The study compared two sites, one that was considered a near pristine environment and one that was considered to be a high human impact site.
And they found a huge variety of plastic types. That indicates that there's a myriad of sources of plastics in our waterways.
But Stella, unfortunately, the research group found high concentrations of plastics in the site that was thought to be near pristine.
What does that have to do with us? I'm personally not drinking litres of seawater.
I'm glad you don't. But Stella, you may have heard of the food web. It's the accumulation of microplastics in the seawater, and it's bad news for us because it's quite literally in the food we eat.
Well, I guess plastics aren't exactly tasty. We are in the infant stages of microplastic research, and experts are unfortunately still unsure of where these microplastics are coming from and what their makeup is, as well as long-term impacts of their presence on our environment. And as Dr. Kahara has shown us, on us.
Crown Research Institute Skyon conducted a study on what kinds of microplastics were most abundant in Auckland waterways. They found 87% were fibres, meaning they're coming from the clothes we wear.
Oh, this may seem incredibly daunting, but there are material solutions coming out of New Zealand's characteristically innovative problem-solving sphere.
Regulation measures, such as refusing to use these synthetic fibres like polyester, nylon and acrylics, and instead opting for natural fibres, reduces the existence of microplastics in the first place.
And engineering better performing textiles that don't shed as much does the same thing. And a number of methods in the production chain can ensure this. Better filtration at wastewater treatment plants can also help.
And things you can do as an individual to reduce leakage of microplastic fibres into the environment include stopping fibres from even leaving your washing machine, as simple as using washing bags or filters.
Food, waterways, where else are these tiny noodles?
I got some horrible news for you, Stella.
More?
Yep. Research by Blackburn and Green, released just this year, suggests there's potential for microplastics to be floating around in the air that we breathe. They're calling for more research into the hypothesized effects on reproductive systems.
Pause. I think that is quite enough bad news for the past 6 minutes.
And well, through this less uplifting episode, it's become more clear that individual choices really do make a difference.
Suppose you're right. Plastic-free July has just been, which hopefully means that little by little, we're halting the behaviours that have led to this micro-mess.
And if you're going shopping this afternoon, don't forget to take your reusable bags.
Stay critical, Earthlings, and we'll try to bring you some positivity next time.
Looks like everything's gonna be all right.
Tomorrow's World with Isla Christensen and Stella Huggins on 95 BFM.